Good morning. This is Evelyn Velez, and you are at the Senior Citizen Engagement Committee. Thank you for attending. Today, we will have a speaker from the Orange County Public Library, and her name is Isabel Stevens, and we welcome you. Thank you for coming. For the Pledge of Allegiance, may I ask Dave to lead us in the pledge?
Be pleased to do so. Please stand, hand over the heart or salute if you are a veteran. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it. Our presentation today is from Isabel Stevens. And Elaine, would you be so kind as to introduce her?
Yes, I will be happy to. And welcome, Isabel. We're glad you could join us today. Isabel Stevens is a branch manager at the Garden Grove Chapman Library and serves as the Orange County Public Library's Senior Services Committee chairperson. She earned her BS in sociology from UCLA and her MSLS from the University of North Texas. Isabel spent over a decade working in public education before making the switch to public libraries. She has worked for Newport Beach Public Library, Yorba Linda Public Library, and several branches of the Orange County Public Libraries. She is passionate about serving the community and particularly enjoys serving its oldest and youngest residents. So welcome, Isabel. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, and may I ask that everybody else mute?
Thank you. All right, so let's go ahead and get started. Let me see if I can share my screen here. Okay. All right, can you guys see that all okay? Okay. I see a couple nods. Okay. Well, thank you again for having us, OC Public Libraries. I am the chairperson of the Senior Services Committee here at the county. So my presentation will be some general information about our system, but the programs, highlights, and so forth will be as they pertain to senior services. So let's go ahead and get started. So our vision, OC Public Library's vision, is open doors, free access, and community. Our mission is to empower and enrich our communities. We have library branches spread throughout the county. There are 32 library branches from as far north as La Habra up here all the way down to San Clemente. So we're spread all the way throughout the county. Some 2021 statistics that I found interesting. We had over 7 million items borrowed, over 65,000 library cards issued, over 1.2 million hours of internet usage by our patrons, and over 692,000 reference questions answered. And by the way, I'm a librarian, so any questions are welcome at any time. You can interrupt me, stop me, just jump right in if you feel the need to have something
else. Isabel, I have a question.
Sure.
The hours of internet usage, is that hours that patrons are in the library using it, or is that hours that patrons are at their home going online to access the library system?
Yeah, so it's probably both. We do track both statistics as far as internet usage inside the branches, and then we also do track database usage. But for that, I believe that is going to be our patrons scattered throughout using either the Wi-Fi, the internet, the desktops, our laptops that we check out, and so forth.
Okay, thank you.
So our first resource that I want to highlight for you guys is our new Books by Mail. Our Books by Mail is a free service that delivers books and audiobooks directly to county residents who can't come into the branch. It addresses isolation and disconnect for those who have been unable to come in to the branches, and so it still allows them to get materials. Interested patrons will fill out an application, they return it to us, Once it's approved, they can place a hold on two items that they'd like to borrow. They can request books and audiobooks. We don't do any formats at any other formats at this time. The items are loaned for 3 weeks, and then they can be renewed up to 5 times, just like our regular circulating materials, as long as nobody else has a hold on them, of course. And then when they need to return them, they just return them in the packaging that we sent to them. It's already addressed to us, and they pop it in the mail to us. So they don't even have to go to the post office or anything like that. They just return it right away. So it's a really nice service to offer people that can't come into the branches. Of course, we have our traditional book groups, which we have one at every branch. They are in different formats. We were doing virtual for a long time, and then we just started back to in-person book groups. But we do have some book groups that meet in a hybrid format where they can have some people in person and some people joining via Zoom. So some people still don't feel comfortable or aren't able to come in for book group, so they are still able to be included at some branches via Zoom. So this year, 2022, was the first year that we celebrated Older Americans Month as a system. It was a really fun celebration in the month of May. We wanted to bring people back together again, just after pandemic was, you know, loosening things up. We felt like it was an okay time to have some people gather again. And we made sure that we did this outdoors just to kind of keep it a little safer for folks because there were, you know, could be large groups. So we had an author event, some senior get-togethers, and then a memoir writing workshop. The author event we had was held at the Cypress Library. Author Raina Grande came to discuss her new historical fiction novel, A Ballad of Love and Glory, which was a novel set in the Mexican-American War. And it was about some, which I never knew about, the Irish soldiers, a group of Irish soldiers that actually switched sides and joined the Mexicans to fight against the Americans. So it's really interesting. She did a great talk. We had a local bookseller come and they sold books and she signed and we had a good turnout. We had over 40 attendees at that program. Our senior get-togethers were so much fun. We had three of them, one held in Seal Beach, one in Irvine, and one in Nolisa Viejo. We always try to spread things throughout the county so that people in each region can participate. We had an herb planting activity, some healthy food demonstrations, and some trivia games where people could win prizes. We had over 150 attendees at those senior get-togethers, and it was nice because OC Social Services Agency came and provided CalFresh information to folks, so they had a table at each event. And we hope to do some more programs with them attending as well. And then we had a memoir writing workshop that was taught by instructor Brianne Ellsworth, who is a certified facilitator at the Barron Center for Autobiographical Studies. Tustin Library hosted the program. It was a 4-week series. People really loved it. They had fun. It was instructional, but very, no pressure and low key. People were asking if we could do it some more. So that might be something that we will return to at another time. And then OC Public Libraries has a mobile library. Again, for the purposes of this presentation, I will talk about how they serve our seniors, but they also do a lot of story times and a lot of outreach events, and they're just an amazing, amazing branch. We call them a branch of our system. So they visit senior centers and senior communities to meet older adults where they are. Maybe they can't come to the library, but they still want to participate in our programs and use our services, so we go to them. OC Mobile Library has visited almost 20 senior communities this year and senior centers. They bring large print materials, DVDs, magazines, pretty much anything that we have in our collection they bring out. They offer a lot of other languages, not just English. They bring Russian, Spanish, Korean, Hindi, and it's really a matter of them knowing their community so they know which types of languages they should bring to each different location. They travel throughout the county 5 days a week. They also bring hotspots and laptops to borrow, which is a really neat feature of the mobile library because sometimes there are long hold lists, but at the mobile library, you don't have to wait. They are there and you can check them out right from that point. Okay. Here's some cute pictures that of different residents making their crafts. They were doing a picket fence there on the left, and then a little birdhouse on the right. They have a knitting club at one of the locations. I think that's San Juan Capistrano, if I remember correctly. And then on the right here, this photo is of a patron signing up for a library card at Irvine's Lakeview Senior Center, which is a really busy senior center. And they have a lot of interactions there with the people that use that senior center. Okay, so digital divide. I was really interested to see that you guys have a subcommittee on digital divide. So you probably are the experts in the topic. I would love to hear more actually about what you're doing in regards to that. But for a simple definition, the digital divide is the economic, educational, and social inequalities between those who have computers and online access and those who do not. It actually, as you know, stretches into those who use them and those who don't also, because having it is not the same as using it, right? So here's some interesting statistics from the American Library Association for the country as a whole. 27% of adults over 65 don't use the internet, and then 41% of adults over 65 don't use broadband at home. When we look at Orange County, those numbers don't look as dire or as serious, but still 20% of older adults are without a broadband connection. 13% of older adults don't own a computer themselves, and then 6% are without an internet connection. And that is based on the report on aging in Orange County of 2022. This I found to be really interesting and really a good thing to talk about is that, again, having access isn't always the issue with people not using, older adults not using the internet. So I like the ease of use. We see this in our branches all the time. Ease of use, confidence, affordability of technology, privacy and security, these all keep folks, older folks from using the internet or using those resources that may be available to them. So how is OC Public Libraries helping in this regard? OC Public Libraries is committed to the Internet Access Initiative, which is bridging the digital divide to bring greater access to internet connectivity to the Orange County community.
Could you explain something real quickly?
Sure.
What broadband connection as opposed to the internet?
Well, broadband is the if you have a cable provider gives you the internet, you have a wired connection. It's different from Wi-Fi. So Wi-Fi is just that you have the Wi-Fi signal. Broadband is that you're connected in to the internet. Does that make sense? How else could I explain broadband? I think it is mainly just a wired connection into the internet. So a lot of folks use their phone and they just have a Wi-Fi signal. Like how do you get your internet?
Through Cox.
Cable provider?
Right.
Yeah. Cox, so you have a broadband connection. Anybody else have a better definition or a better explanation than I have for that? Okay. Well, maybe I can follow up with a better connection or a better explanation for you when we finish up. How about that?
Okay.
So for Wi-Fi, we offer Wi-Fi hotspots and Chromebooks to help folks get online. Any patron with a full privilege library card can check out a Wi-Fi hotspot or a Chromebook. They are lent for three weeks. And these are helpful for older folks who don't have a reliable connection at home. And often, again, like I said, maybe they don't know how to connect. Mobile library is key with these. They have staff when they check them out, they can, and we do too in the branches, when we check them out, we can show you how to connect with it, which again is a lot of times the hurdle for people.
Oh, could you talk a little bit more about this? How would you have, you would have a hotspot. You have Wi-Fi, so how is that different than?
Well, this is for someone who doesn't have Wi-Fi. So we get a lot of folks, especially at the senior residences, or they want to take it somewhere, or they want to I don't know, be outside or something, they don't have a Wi-Fi connection. This little device, the hotspot, gives you that Wi-Fi connection.
Okay.
And you can take it wherever you go.
And Chromebooks, is that a laptop?
Yes, it's a version of a laptop. It's a little bit simplified laptop, but yes, it is. Okay. And those check out just like a book, and they need to be returned. The difference with the Chromebooks is you can't put a hold on them. They have to just be available when you come in. But again, our mobile library often is key with these because they can, they check theirs out. They have them always, usually always on hand. Okay, let's go to the next one. Technology help, one-on-one technology assistance. We offer at several branches within the county. The El Toro, Stanton, there's a couple others that offer them. And it's just a way for older adults to have some one-on-one time with a person that can help them with the basics. There's library staff that will help with basic tasks, such as downloading books from our library, setting up your email. What else do they need some often help with? Usually those are the big ones, but setting up an email and being able to check like their Facebook, just basic things like that, that we kind of take for granted that people need help with. Our Senior Services Committee is actually working on training materials to help all of our branches if they want to set up a one-on-one technology help program.
So do they need to make appointments for that, or is staff available when they walk in?
Well, that's handled differently branch by branch. Staff is always available to patrons when they walk in, for sure. We help them every day, all day. But this is more like devoted time to spend, with someone. Some branches do require an appointment. Some have a certain day of the week and time. Okay, you know, Tuesday is at 3 p.m. for an hour is our one-on-one technology help window. So we have a staff person there dedicated to doing that with folks. Here, this photo at the El Toro Library, that was one of their programs where they had that dedicated time set aside for people to come and get help. I think this one was with their Libby, which is their digital books. I had a patron just the other day say that she loves to come. Let me get her quote right. Marla said, "I love to come and get computer help from someone who isn't my son rolling his eyes at me," which I thought was cute. And I totally get it. I have teenagers, so I understand. Okay, so our e-library, we have digital books. We have something called Get Set Up, and we have something called Brain HQ. And again, we have a ton of other things in our e-library, our digital library, but I'm just trying to focus on those that particularly might be of use to older adults. Digital books, let's go to those first. I don't know how many of you use our digital materials, books, audiobooks, and magazines, but they are amazing and they're free for older adults. Digital materials, if they're comfortable using them, once we help them get comfortable using them, they're lighter and easier to hold. The font sizes can be increased, and there's a great contrast between the text and the background, and it's easier on the eyes. And then audiobooks, of course, are a great option for folks who have trouble reading traditional print.
Excuse me. Yeah. So just a little bit more on this one. Mm-hmm. I assume that you were talking about you would have access and you would be able to access digital books and audiobooks and magazines on your own computer. But you're saying here digital materials are lighter and easier to use.
Because a lot of them will use it on an iPad. An iPad is a great tool for, and a lot of older adults that we see have iPads or have a large phone. So they can hold it instead of a big book. When we have visited senior residences, I have talked to many seniors who say that they love to read like a large book, but they can't hold it up all the time. And the having it on an iPad is easier for them to, for them to hold, and then they can increase the font. Does that answer your question? Okay. Again, it is something that they would need to become comfortable with using, but once they do, they just love it. I have a concierge at a residence who she was very, very reluctant to use digital audiobooks. I would try to tell her, you know, let's try it. And she said, no, no, no. And then once the pandemic hit, she couldn't come to the library. She emailed me and said, okay, Isabel, let's try it. And then she emailed me again and said, oh my gosh, I can't believe I hadn't done this before. It's amazing. So that was really nice to hear. And she said, it's not hard. I did it. I could do it. And so that's fun for people too. Get set up. This is just a quick little 1 minute video. Let me just play it for you guys. Oh, so loud. I'm sorry, that was so loud, my goodness. So Get Set Up is a really neat database that we offer. It is taught, all the classes are taught by older adults who hold graduate and master's degrees. And the classes are taught in small groups to ensure that everyone can participate and not feel any pressure or be intimidated. Offer day and night, and that's generously provided by the California State Library. And then BrainHQ. BrainHQ is another database that offers more than two dozen scientifically proven exercises. So this one that I just highlighted here is like a matching exercise that you would do to little games that help with memory, help you think faster, focus, remember more. And it is developed by a world-renowned neuroscientist. I can't pronounce his last name, but he is, I think his claim to fame is he did develop the cochlear implant or something along those lines. So it's developed by a team of top neuroscientists. So there's a lot of study and research done in this database. And then last, our OC Memory Lab, which is a space for free do-it-yourself digitization. You can digitize your photos, videos, sound recordings, things that are really important memories that you want to hold on to. So that's an important service that we offer. And there is the main site is at our Tustin branch, and then we have a mobile unit that we take out to outreach and can be taken to different locations throughout the county. There's a staff member there that can get you started on using it to use the materials, technology to scan your materials. It's simple, it's not too difficult, and it's a very, very nice way to preserve memories. Okay. Did anybody have any other questions? Except for Elizabeth, we're going to get you a definition on broadband. I'm going to get
That's
you.
Okay. As long as I have it, as long as I have it through Fox, okay. I don't care. All right. Thanks.
Did anybody else have any other questions?
Could you elaborate on your last slide?
Sure. The memory lab?
Yes.
Okay.
What exactly? So somebody would bring in a stack of photos.
Mm-hmm.
And. Yep.
And then they would be shown how to scan them and then save them on some type of memory device so that they could now be on a digital format. They also can do that with videos and sound recordings as well. So they have the technology to preserve them, transfer them and make them into a digital format so that they can be preserved.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. And you do that in your traveling libraries?
There is the actual memory lab itself is located at Tustin, our Tustin library branch, but we mm-hmm. do have a mobile unit that can be taken out to different events. It doesn't travel with the mobile library, mm-hmm. It can just be, you know, taken wherever we want it to go, an outreach event to a different branch for a program, et cetera.
Okay. Would you mind taking down the slideshow so that I can see faces?
Yeah, let me just stop my screen sharing.
Okay. Thank you. Do I see any questions for Isabel? Thank you, Isabel. That was actually more than I was aware of.
Oh, good.
That. Yes. I think not only is the memory lab of a lot of interest, but the Brain HQ, I remember when that first started coming out, and it was terrific. So I'm really excited to hear that you offer that for free, the library system.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for having me. I appreciate it. And again, I'm going to be poking into your guys's minutes and so forth to see what you guys are doing with the digital divide for older adults. I love to hear it, and I'm interested as a senior services chairperson. So.
Okay. Well, thank you, Isabel. Maybe Dave Tetzlaff, who's on here, maybe the two of you can connect, because Dave was very involved in our digital divide work. So maybe, you know, the two of you can connect and share what you're doing.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much. I'm going to step out now, and you guys have a great rest of your meeting and a good day.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Isabel. Terrific. Bye-bye. Thanks again.
You're welcome.
Evelyn, hi. This is Carol. I made it.
Yes, Carol. I saw you come in. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Elaine, for organizing that. I appreciate it. And Elizabeth, you caught Carol, and Elizabeth is actually going to have to leave early today. So this is a good time for the swap out.
I think that the reason Jim Levy and John Poynter aren't here is the reason I have to leave early. This meeting tomorrow in Sacramento. So I need to get on the road.
Okay.
Evelyn, would you like to do a roll? We haven't done roll yet. Do you want to do that?
Before? Yes, please.
Okay. Would you like me to just go ahead and do it, Elizabeth?
Fine.
Okay. No worries. Tony Alavado? Elizabeth Busick?
Present.
Carol Downey?
Present.
Scott Feig? Elaine Genoway?
Present.
Sherry Horn?
She is absent because she has to take her husband to the dentist.
Carolyn Inman? Jim Levy? John Poynter? Tony Rodella? Dave Tetzlaff?
Here.
Evelyn Velez?
Here.
And Paolo Morales. And that is quorum, Chair.
Okay, thank you.
And Tony's probably absent for the same reason, too.
This safe travels, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
And have a safe trip.
Thanks so much.
Okay, so there's really one item here on new business, which is the committee chair nominations for this committee. So I will be finishing my second year in November, and we need to nominate somebody for the chair position. Now that we don't have enough people here today, I don't think, but next month I would like to, I would like for everybody to really think about their commitment for the next couple of years. Okay, so action item, AB 361, Desiree, do we need it this month?
Yes, we do.
We do, okay. So recommendation is to continue virtual meetings due to the proclaimed state of emergency arising from COVID-19. Meeting in person presents imminent risk to the health and safety of attendees, and the emergency continues to directly impact the ability of the leader of the members to meet safely in person. Is somebody... can I get a motion from somebody?
I move.
Carol, first.
Or second.
Elizabeth, second Elizabeth. Thank you. A vote, please, Desiree.
Tony Alavado. Elizabeth Busick.
Yes.
Carol Downey.
Aye.
Scott Feig. Elaine Genoway.
Aye.
Sherry Horn, Carolyn Inman, Jim Levy, John Pointer, Tony Rodella, Dave Tetzloff.
Aye, with a question mark after the vote.
Evelyn Velez?
Yes.
And Paulo Morales. And that is majority, Chair.
Thank you. Go ahead, Dave, question mark.
Yeah, the question I have on this, if the President of the United States has now said that COVID is over, I still have no objections meeting digitally, but do we have to follow the AB 361? This seems kind of ridiculous to continue doing this within the 30-day requirement. I don't see any other organizations that are strict with this 361. And if we're meeting digitally, that is our choice. But if the COVID crisis has been declared over, why are we still following 361?
And just to be clear, your question is, do we have to have this meeting every 30 days?
It's correct.
Yes, this annoying little 30-day thing.
So to answer Dave's question, it's not our choice whether or not to meet virtually or in person. We are a Brown Act committee required by state law to meet in person. So the 361 is the governor's executive order, AB 361 allows us to meet virtually during the pandemic. The governor has not lifted that yet. So if the committee wants to meet virtually, we have to do that, or else we go back to in person, which is we all drive into Santa Ana.
Yeah.
So it's the governor's decision.
Yeah, it's a state law. Yeah.
Okay.
And the state law requires that we meet in person, except for this, with this exception.
Yeah, we are a Brown Act committee, which requires in-person meeting.
Okay.
So you've seen some, I know even some city councils are still meeting virtually. The city next to me is still meeting virtually. My city has been meeting in person for, the last couple years now. And some do have a hybrid, but it's all within this framework of the Brown Act Committee.
So if the governor declares that COVID is over, we don't have to follow AB 361, does that mean that we have to go back to meeting in person?
Yes.
Okay.
We are only able to meet virtually because of the pandemic, which now we are getting to the very, very, very tail end of it. But that is the only reason we are able to meet virtually. It is not our choice whether or not mm-hmm. we can meet virtually.
Okay. The other question I have is relative to the new business in regards to selecting a chair. We are not going to be able to select a chair for the subcommittees until we have elected the officers for the standing committee, correct?
Correct. And I was going to pull up the newly approved bylaws and send that to Evelyn after I took a look at it. But it's the it's actually the new chair will select the standing committee chairs. So what the chair would be asking for is for people who are interested, but it's not the standing committee that selects the chair. It's the SCAC chair who selects the chair of the standing committees. And this is where we always run into a little bit of a problem, because if you are on the SCAC executive board, you cannot be the chair of a standing committee. And if you are a chair of a standing committee, you have to be a member of SCAC, because our standing committees do have participants that are not SCAC members. So all of that needs to be resolved before the standing committee chair can be selected.
So that did not change?
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, because that's not what happened 2 years ago. But when is the standing committee going to be elected? So what is the schedule now?
The schedule is the new board gets elected at the November meeting.
Okay. All right, because my commitment is through November.
Mm-hmm. And then...
And the chair of SCAC selects the chair of the subcommittees? There's no election?
No.
Just by appointment?
Mm-hmm. But obviously, the chair wants to know who's interested. So.
Right.
Okay, good. Well, thank you for that clarification.
Excuse me, I have a question. Where is our November meeting again?
That'll be at the Laguna Niguel Community Center.
Okay, did we meet there before, Elaine?
Before we met down the street at Laguna Niguel City Hall.
And then we went to a country club, didn't we?
Correct.
Okay.
So this will be at the community center, and the luncheon will be at the community center. It'll be all in one location.
Is the community center there by the city hall?
It's down the street.
Okay.
It's on Crown Valley between the Gell and La Paz. So it's just okay. The street. But the community center, it's a new community center, and it has, you know, it has beautiful, you know, screens and monitors. So the presentation, we can see that. And it'll also be a very nice and appropriate place to have the luncheon afterwards.
Oh, sounds like it. Yeah, I'll get the address and get.
Yeah, that'll be. Yeah, we'll send that out well in advance of November.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions on that? The action item? All right, let's move on to the subcommittee report. Dave, do you have an update on the digital divide?
No, there's no update.
Do we know anything about, I remember before Erica left, she said something about the a new laptop program was going to be distributed, and I didn't catch when that would happen.
To my knowledge, they were applying for a grant. I'm not sure what the status is of that grant.
Okay. So it's a state level grant?
Correct.
Well, it doesn't matter if it's state or federal. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Lillian, did you have any information on that?
Yeah. Thank you, Elaine. The AT&T grant that Dave was mentioning, the social services took the lead in applying, but the results come in, they are going to hand that over to us should we be awarded. But there is currently a program through CDA that we are distributing a bunch of iPads. I believe it's over 300 iPads right now, and we're working with the participants right now to distribute that. So more information to come on the AT&T, but right now the application has been submitted.
Question on with the presentation when she talked about the Get Set Up program, is this different than the one
It's the same one. It's the same, the one with the one that we distributed, the 2,000 laptops. It's the same application.
Right, because the Get Set Up was available to anyone seen within Orange County. Okay.
Correct.
So they've just piggybacked on that program?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. The next item is the Elder Abuse Subcommittee, and Elizabeth isn't here, but we haven't had any meetings this last month. We were busy trying to get somebody to actually talk to us at next month's meeting. So I guess we will still have the State Long-Term Care Ombudsman coming next month. Legislative tracking, John isn't here. I don't know if either of you, Carol or Dave, have an update. You're not on, okay. New membership. Actually, we've lost Carolyn. Is that not right? Carolyn Inman. She's moving to another committee because of a schedule problem. And The person that Desiree mentioned at the end has never shown up, the last name on the list. So I'm not really sure he's a member.
Paulo Morales? Is that who you're referring to?
Yes.
The application did, he did select this standing committee as his option. So, and he is receiving the invites. I haven't received any information from him that he's not.
Yeah, he's a member of SCAC. He was appointed by the city selection committee. He's also the mayor of Cypress. So we can reach out to him and remind him about these.
Okay. Announcements and roundtable discussion. Anybody have an update? All right. Thank you. Public matters. We do have two attendees. So at this time, members of the public may address the council regarding any items within the subject jurisdiction, provided that no action is taken on off agenda items unless authorized by law. Desiree, would you check with our attendees, please?
Yes, we did not receive any requests in advance to speak. If there are members of the public this morning that would like to address the committee, please use the hand raise icon or press star 9 and I will unmute you. And I'm seeing no hands, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. Well, then that brings us to our adjournment. Our next meeting is on Monday, October 17th. Online still. And thank you very much for coming. I appreciate your cooperation and your participation. You have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye.